just change my ways, change my ways, those evil ways. So I set out across that way to strike them down, to make them pay and change their ways, their evil.
Back. Top of the third hour this Wednesday, November 27, 2019. And again, the day before Thanksgiving, an interesting, I would call it anyway, an interesting juxtaposition to Thanksgiving. This discussion of cybernetic totalism in particular. And I want to get back to Robert Piotrowski's article between Plato and Wiener, Philosophical Cybernetics in the 17th Century. But first, I mentioned earlier Robots, Reasoning, and Reification, Where is My Robot? By James and Louise Gunderson. And they open with a quote from Egan Brunswick, 1950. While in principle, everything may be under strict control within the machine, the remote space-time surroundings are, in general case, known to the system by extrapolation only, that is, predicted with some uncertainty. As psychological functionalism, when actually carried out, has thus been found to be forced into probabilism, a cybernetics with ecological involvement must contain probabilistic elements. And so again, that's sort of an echo of what Larkin, Texas reminds us, you know, in the absence of certainty, probabilism will do. And just to give you an idea of how pervasive the study and, you know, pervasive and invasive this whole thing is intended to be, just a few, you know, few excerpts from the table of contents of Gunderson and Gunderson's Robots, Reasoning, and Reification. So, probability in the real world. This is chapter 2, some background material on probability and biology. Probability and biology. Who wants to study this? And again, this is all in the context of studying and knowing man to steer and control. You know, have you ever heard of the term steering committee, by the way? It takes on a whole new meaning when you start to think of that in the context of cybernetics, doesn't it? It's a steering committee. Subjugation committee. This is what collectivism amounts to. It gets back to what, you know, we heard Aaron Dykes talking about in that video, 2016 True Stream Media video, the time when a single computer ran an entire country. I wonder how many countries a single computer runs now. So probability in the real world, why a biologically principled argument? What is a biologically principled argument? Biology is an observational science. Using cognition and physiology to build a cognitive model, reification in biological entities. And this is in chapter 3, you know, using cognition and physiology to build a cognitive model. Reification in biological entities is an interesting discussion. I've talked about the term reification in the past, particularly in this context. Which, you know, some might argue is it's really its only context is cybernetics. Anyway, so 3.3, chapter, section 3.3, emotion, 3.3.1, emotion as a mediator, and on and on. And then chapter 5, perception slash action system, 5.1, robot as perception slash action system. This is, you know, again, this is Norbert Wiener's Cybernetics or Control and Communication in the Animal and the Machine, or Ray Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines, that kind of thing. This is what we're talking about, turning man into a godless robot, programmable robot, who will help us build other, you know, silicon-based life forms and swarming robots and things. You know, we can control man to engineer him to help us build these things that are, you know, silicon-based skin suits, complete with self-regenerative skin that DARPA's been working on for the last 15 or 20 years. I remember in 2006 talking about that, 7, 8, their RFPs to develop self-regenerative skin. Wonder why DARPA would want to do that. So anyway, back to Robert Piotrowski's Between Plato and Wiener, Philosophical Cybernetics in the 17th Century. As it is well known, scientific cybernetic research begun only in the second part of the 19th century, not in the context of political science, but in the framework of physiology, psychology, and engineering. Most of the main concepts of modern cybernetics emerged in the 1920s and 30s due to the development of theories of computing, games, information, and pursuit. And so when you hear these kinds of things, it should shed new light for those, for the unwashed masses, I suppose, as far as all of these computer games are concerned and why the Department of Defense and DARPA and RAND and the entire military-industrial complex is so obsessed with digital gaming. Most of the main concepts of modern cybernetics emerged in the 1920s and 30s due to the development of theories of computing, games, information, and pursuit. The threshold of conceptual critical mass was exceeded in the 1940s in France, Germany, and the USA. What was happening in the 1940s, by the way? And in the 20s and 30s, for that matter. The threshold of conceptual critical mass was exceeded in the 1940s in France, Germany, and the USA. The birth of cybernetics is often dated to the seminal publication by Wiener, Norbert Wiener, in 1948, which was, again, the cybernetics, cybernetics or control and communication in the animal and machine. Excuse me. In a sense, cybernetics fell victim of its initial success. Bad guys sure have a way with words, don't they? The rapid development eventually led to fragmentation, so the most active former branches of cybernetic movement are now being considered as separate fields, as in the case of artificial intelligence. What? Exactly. Our considerations are based on the classical cybernetics, quote-unquote, between 1940s and 1970s. And again, you know, you hear this kind of stuff, you start to come up to speed on this stuff, and you really get a vision for the horror that Aaron and Melissa Dykes, I believe, are trying to shine a bright light on with their documentary, for example, The Minds of Men. It's amazing what they were able to cram into the short amount of time that they were. Continuing, it can be easily guessed that a slow gestation spanning over more than 2,000 years had several causes. Not only advanced formal methods were needed, and even the emergence of individual scientific and engineering disciplines on which cybernetics had been founded was not enough. Philosophical underpinnings were also needed. And again, for those who don't know, this discussion dates back, as Robert Piotrowski points out, to at least the Platonic era. Plato introducing the concept of cybernetics into philosophy. That's a kind way to put that. So, Piotrowski writes, philosophical underpinnings were also needed. In this respect, the 17th century was the formal period. Think about that. 17th century. And what was happening? I mean, I think of the Central Bank of England was chartered in 1694, right? The East India Company, British and Dutch East India Company, Bacon, and lots of other fun things going on around that time. So in this respect, the 17th century was the formal period. We do not claim that all philosophical ideas pertaining to cybernetics emerged in early modernity. Rather, some existing concepts were expressed in modern terms and included in a broader intellectual framework. We shall list the basic assumptions of cybernetics with brief explanations. Then we shall briefly review the contribution of 17th century philosophers to the development of these assumptions. Systemism. Again, systems engineers. Now, kind of like propaganda, you start to study this stuff, it takes on a whole different meaning. Systemism. Reality is to be apprehended in a systemic way. Cybernetics focuses on the structure instead of the matter. 1A. Sometimes systemism is reduced to generalized behaviorism. Oh, these are the systems we're talking about. I.e., the directive, black boxes should not be looked into. The latter is rather commonsensical. Number two, analogization of systems. There are classes composed of systems which are isomorphic with regard to steering control relations. An example is the class of autonomous systems. The term isomorphic means a kind of similarity, namely sameness, with regard to cybernetically relevant features. Number three, energetic and material nature of interactions, energy and matter principle. All interactions, including the steering control interactions, are of energetic and or matter nature. And so this is where you start to get into the drift. These people engineering this drift that the Rees Committee talked about, in particular, talking about leaning toward American society leaning toward an empirical system that is less concerned, a post-truth system, if you will. Less concerned with objective facts and the real scientific method, and more concerned with, manipulation, control, subjugation of one's fellow man, and studying exactly how to do that in Marxist dialectical materialist fashion. That's kind of the undertone that I hear anyway when I read these kinds of things. So informational interactions are singled out on the basis of negligent ratio between energy matter expenditure of cause and the respective gain of effect. It is not a definition of information. There are several types of such definitions. Moreover, no definition embraces all important intuitions of information, whether commonsensical or scientific. Number four, purpose, purposiveness and intentionality. The steering process is aimed at a purpose anticipated by the steering system. The helmsman knows where he is going. And in that sense, again, I think of InQtel, and that's why I call it the rudder that is steering and guiding and controlling technological innovation, the leading cutting edge of technological innovation. I mean, they NQTEL has bragged, as I've pointed out in the past, you know, when you could still find that information, when NQTEL was bragging about the fact that for every VC dollar NQTEL invested, the VC community lent another $9 to $11. First it was $9 when I started talking about it, then they were bragging it was up to $11, and then they started, as far as I know, they are not publishing that factoid any longer. I wonder why. The cybernetic rudder of cutting edge technological development in QTEL. The helmsman knows where he is going. So number five, cybernetic hierarchy of systems. There is a ranking of systems according to their self-steering capacities. And when you start, you know, this and other points reminds me of Ray Kroc, you know, what Ray Kroc brought to the McDonald's Brothers operation, for example. Ray Kroc says, what business am I in? I would say, you know, if I was one of the kids that he asked at that visit to the pub, I would say you're in the business of cybernetic totalism. It's pretty obvious. He said real estate. Anyway, a system of systems that runs on mindless human labor. 17-year-old kids running multi-million dollar operations. No offense, 17-year-old kids. Point is, you know, it's a marvel of cybernetic engineering, and it's, you know, in all its horror, I would say. Hopefully that makes sense. Just another one of the many reasons not to support McDonald's, in my humble estimation. How to be a good cog in the machine. That's what you learn. But that's everywhere. You know, that's the modern military. It's everywhere. So, cybernetic hierarchy of systems. There is a ranking of systems according to their self-steering capacities. No such ranking was ever agreed by cyberneticians. Cybernetic rankings are sometimes mistaken with hierarchies of systems in terms of their complexity, quote unquote. Identification of this is number six. Identification of autonomous systems. In the hierarchy of systems, there is a class of systems capable of self-steering and self-control in their own interest. Parenthetically, autonomous, self-governing, purposeful. Own interest, quote unquote, means maintenance of existence and steering capacities. 6A, the principle is often limited to the principle of homeostasis. Some systems, homeostats, are capable of maintaining the quality of their inner environment as survival demands that all parameters of the systems stay in a specific normal, quote-unquote, range. And finally, number seven, characterization of systems. There are features of systems incapable of being changed by steering or control without disturbing the identity of a given system or even destroying it. Such features can be termed cybernetic characters, quote-unquote, or natures, quote-unquote. The term rigid steering parameters is also used, rigidness meaning independence of external influences and not invariability. If the character of a system changes, it does so spontaneously. When the system is aging, of course, real-life systems display both rigid and flexible features. That'll do it for number seven. We'll get back into Robert Piotrowski's piece when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Another clip we could play. The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. Look inside. What do you see? Anyway, far more than people realize, I would say. Anyway, continuing. Yeah. We need to come back to Leibniz at some point, and we will. Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz. Speaking of that era, that was one of the things that was happening, 17th century. But, you know, that's kind of a spoiler alert, so we'll come back to him. So I'm going through the list from Robert Piotrowski's Between Plato and Wiener, Philosophical Cybernetics in the 17th Century, speaking of Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz. The contribution of 17th century philosophers to the development of the assumptions of cybernetics, including brief explanations. So that's kind of what we're looking at right now. And so continuing, number eight, characteristics. And you'll see how important this is. You know, this gets exactly to, I mean, how many of the points along the road? We played the video that Aaron and Melissa Dykes did back in 2016. Aaron quoting, you know, that video titled "The Time When a Single Computer Ran an Entire Country." Aaron reading from Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, published in 1966. And as Quigley mentioned, paraphrasing quickly, you know, from the outset of Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, Quigley said, you know, "I've studied this conspiracy, so to speak, for a period of 20 years, and I had the opportunity to examine their private documents for about 2 years before I wrote this book." And so it's a work based on that research and study. And in 1966, he had some shocking and provocative things to say. "In the 20th century, the expert will replace the industrial tycoon in control of the economic system, even as he will replace the democratic voter in control of the political system." And again, I concluded, you know, the article that I mentioned, I think it was last week, and, you know, all throughout this week, ahead of the 2020 election, this Israeli startup is using military-grade tech to fight fake news. And it's Check is the name of the, you know, CHEQ, led by Guy Tutinovich, a former IDF Unit 8200 member, the Talpiot program, who is quoted at the conclusion of the article saying, "We're going to see a lot of things that even Hollywood couldn't think up or think of 20 or 30 years ago." That sounds hyperbolic. If the average person is to take that at face value, it sounds hyperbolic, but I don't think it is. So in cybernetic totalist terms, what does that mean? Or should we include here Michael Kaczynski's work, Cambridge Analytica, and that whole, you know, the data that turned the world upside down? Stanford.edu public policy program? The data that turned the world upside down. What was Michael Kaczynski? What did he say? He said based on likes, not things you write, but things that you like. Based on, you start mapping that layer upon layer in a graph database model. You know, the old crime drama thing, you know, where the guy's got the strings. This is linked to that and this and that. And that graph database model. Start laying out those likes, and Michael Kaczynski says, "I can tell more about you than your coworkers, your friends, your spouse, sometimes even yourself. This mapping is more honest than you are about yourself." So, you know, Aaron quoting Quigley from Tragedy and Hope, 1966, the expert will replace the industrial tycoon in control of the economic system, even as he will replace the democratic voter in control of the political system. And on and on. Anyway, more when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check, but there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Wow.
Welcome back. All right, so we're going to play a little clip here, and yeah. This is, well, gosh, you know, there is just such a confluence of subject matter. A couple of books. This is a YouTube video drawing from Martin Ford's The Rise of the Robots, Technology and the Threat of Mass Unemployment. Again, you know, people just don't understand. It's, you know, Patrick Wood has told us, you know, it is all about the new international economic order, resource-based, technocratically controlled, cybernetically controlled. And I, you know, I feel like a stuck record, but Jeremy Rifkin, Zero Marginal Cost Society, ZeroMarginalCostSociety.com, his book. You want to talk technocracy and cybernetics? Maybe start there. Zero Marginal Cost Society, the Internet of Things, not people. The Internet of Things. Why do we need an IPv6 address protocol? Because everything will have a chip and an IP address. You know, every single individual Coca-Cola can. By the way, you know, I've been thinking this year in particular, I wonder what it would change. Would it change anything if people knew that the red Santa Claus was not red until Edward Bernays and Coca-Cola came along? I digress. Anyway, you start, you know, and I was saying that because, you know, the cans, the technology has been around for quite some time to be able to number each can. We just don't have the capacity to do anything with that big data yet, or haven't had. That's why IPv6 is essential. That's why you got to have 5G, the National Broadband Initiative, all this kind of stuff. Because that's what the devil wants to do. I mean, spoiler alert, if we want to skip forward, it's really, it seems pretty self-evident. It's all about, you know, again, getting back to the John D. Francis Bacon, that Baconian concept of a society that would see all and be seen by none, which sounds a lot like the devil in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28, saying, I will become like the Most High. Well, what is the Most High like? He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. And so on. And high technology and the interwebs in particular seem to give people, were they to, you know, harbor those grandiose dreams, the capacity to counterfeit that character. So, anyway, back to Jeremy Rifkin, Zero Marginal Cost Society, the Internet of Things, the Collaborative Commons, and the Eclipse of Capitalism. But, you know, it's what I would refer to as super capitalism, to quote Congressman Larry McDonald. Super capitalism, or Fordism, you know, is a parallel term and discussion. Anyway, the point is, the Zero Marginal Cost Society eliminates the marginal cost. And what is the greatest marginal cost in the supply chain? It is labor. So, The Rise of the Robots, Technology and the Threat of Mass Unemployment by Martin Ford. Remember Angus Deaton? Nobel economist Angus Deaton on how robotics threatens jobs. That was a Business Insider article I mentioned back in 2016. And what did he say? You know, no Nobel economist, I don't think globalization is anywhere near the threat that robots are. Why? Jeremy Rifkin wrote it in a book titled The Zero Marginal Cost Society, as in zero labor. Again, Jordy Rose, you know, what did he say? If I can make a robot for $10, sell it at a profit for $15, and that robot replaces your $100,000 a year job, what are you going to do? So, again, this is an interesting juxtapose to tomorrow being Thanksgiving, I realize, and I, you know, I apologize if it's arguably too cynical, but so then the second book, the second machine age, work, progress, and prosperity in a time of brilliant technologies. And this has all been sold under a utopian socialist dream. Again, this goes back to propaganda like Edward Bernays, Edward Bellamy's Looking Backward. It's going to be a utopian socialist. It's a utopian socialist dream. It's going to be, well, maybe for some people. And, well, anyway, second machine age, work, progress, and prosperity in a time of brilliant technologies, by Eric Brynjolfsson and Andrew McAfee. Without further ado, here is the video upon, you know, based on those two books, the video, just a little excerpt of this video titled The Rise of the Machines, Why Automation is Different This Time. Go ahead, please.
How long do you think it will take before machines do your job better than you do? Automation used to mean big, stupid machines doing repetitive work in factories. Today, they can land aircraft, diagnose cancer, and trade stocks. We are entering a new age of automation unlike anything that's come before. According to a 2013 study, almost half of all jobs in the US could potentially be automated in the next two decades. But wait, hasn't automation been around for decades? What's different this time? Things used to be simple. Innovation made human work easier and productivity rose, which means that more stuff or services could be produced per hour using the same amount of human workers. This eliminated many jobs, but also created other jobs that were better, which was important because the growing population needed work. So, in a nutshell, innovation, higher productivity, fewer old jobs, and many new and often better jobs. Overall, this worked well for a majority of people, and living standards improved. There's a clear progression in terms of what humans did for a living. For the longest time, we worked in agriculture. With the Industrial Revolution, this shifted to production jobs. And as automation became more widespread, humans shifted into service jobs. And then, only a few moments ago in human history, the information age happened. Suddenly, the rules were different. Our jobs are now being taken over by machines much faster than they were in the past. That's worrying, of course, but innovation will clearly save us, right? While new information age industries are booming, they are creating fewer and fewer new jobs. In 1979, General Motors employed more than 800,000 workers and made about $11 billion. In 2012, Google made about $14 billion while employing 58,000 people. You may not like this comparison, but Google is an example of what created new jobs in the past. Innovative new industries. Old innovative industries are running out of steam. Just look at cars. When they became a thing 100 years ago, they created huge industries. Cars transformed our way of life, our infrastructure, and our cities. Millions of people found jobs, either directly or indirectly. Decades of investment kept this momentum going. Today, this process is largely complete. Innovation in the car industry does not create as many jobs as it used to. While electric cars are great and all, they won't create millions of new jobs. But wait, what about the internet? Some technologists argue that the internet is an innovation on a par with the introduction of electricity. If we go with this comparison, we see how our modern innovation differs from the old one. The internet created new industries, but they're not creating enough jobs to keep up with population growth or to compensate for the industries the internet is killing. At its peak in 2004, Blockbuster had 84,000 employees and made $6 billion in revenue. In 2016, Netflix had 4,500 employees and made $9 billion in revenue. Or take us, for example. With a full-time team of just 12 people, Kurzgesagt reaches millions of people. A TV station with the same amount of viewers needs way more employees. Innovation in the information age doesn't equate to the creation of enough new jobs, which would be bad enough on its own, but now a new wave of automation and a new generation of machines is slowly taking over. To understand this, we need to understand ourselves first. Human progress is based on the division of labor. As we advanced over thousands of years, our jobs became more and more specialized. While even our smartest machines are bad at doing complicated jobs, they are extremely good at doing narrowly defined and predictable tasks. This is what destroyed factory jobs. But look at a complex job long and hard enough, and you'll find that it's really just many narrowly defined and predictable tasks, one after another. Machines are on the brink of becoming so good at breaking down complex jobs into many predictable ones that for a lot of people, there will be no further room to specialize. We are on the verge of being outcompeted. Digital machines do this via machine learning, which enables them to acquire information and skills by analyzing data. This makes them become better at something through the relationships they discover. Machines teach themselves.
Far enough. So, yeah, again, the title of that video is The Rise of the Machines, Why Automation is Different This Time. And again, this at the heart of this discussion is the cybernetic discussion, cybernetic totalist discussion, and this recursive, iterative system. That is what the basis of machine learning and artificial intelligence is. Essentially is cybernetics and a way to do all this stuff. So again, I realize this is probably particularly disturbing and unsettling with tomorrow being Thanksgiving as a sort of backdrop to the discussion. But, you know, who knows? Maybe these are things worth discussing around the Thanksgiving table. I don't know. I mean, I would argue that they are. This is the reality of the America in which we find ourselves, and it's everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. And so can you hear the echoes decade after decade after decade? You know, before the activities and the writings of the 70s, again, I think, you know, what the Church Committee brought to light should have been referred to as a not so much MK Ultra, but a cybernetic totalist initiative that was undertaken in this case primarily under the direction of the CIA. It was a cybernetic totalist operation is what it was. Mind control is a romanticizing of what happened. At least that's how I see it. So hopefully that makes sense. And I was reading from Robert Piotrowski's Between Plato and Wiener, Philosophical Cybernetics in the 17th Century, and I apologize I haven't gotten further along. Maybe we'll pick that up. We're not live tomorrow. It's Thanksgiving, so we will take a break, obviously, and I hope you enjoy Thanksgiving. But, you know, if you're interested in that kind of thing and in the fashion of what William in Montana was saying, I think this is a good abridgment of the cybernetic discussion. It's a good entry point for those who are not well versed. A defining of terms by bad guys in old school bad guy fashion. And so anyway, like I said, we'll probably come back to that, but you can just see the echoes of this stuff everywhere. It's in. So again, you know, not to belabor the issue, but Jaron Lanier, his latest book, what is it titled? And it's been translated. It's not just in English. 10 arguments for deleting your social media accounts right now. And what are those arguments? You know? It's pretty simple. You're losing your free will is argument number one. Quitting social media is the most finely targeted way to resist the insanity of our times. And on, social media hates your soul. It really does. The other thing I was going to mention real quick, two things. You watch this, you know, you listen to this video, the clip that we just played, look at these books, and from the old school bad guy side of the discussion, you have folks like, you know, in recent months, I've mentioned those with a disdainful loathing for their fellow man, like H.G. Wells, for example, who in The New World Order, which again is listed as nonfiction, published in 1939, already said that or wrote about this mindless toil in chapter 5, Unsated Youth. In the technically crude past, the illiterate have-nots were sweated and overworked. It was easy to find toil to keep them all busy. Such surplus multitudes are wanted no more. Toil is no longer marketable. Machines can toil better and with less resistance. So you start to see, again, what folks like Piotrowski are talking about. You know, between Plato and Wiener, philosophical cybernetics in the 17th century, coming forward 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st century, what has been happening that guys like H.G. Wells write about at this point. And so from there, it's pretty easy to see why somebody like Ted Kaczynski, especially with his background, would write Industrial Society and Its Future, a.k.a. the Unabomber's Manifesto. And on that note, to the phones. Murr in Wisconsin, thanks for calling. Welcome. We have Murr.
Thankful too.
Pardon?
Why? I just want to remind everyone who we're being thankful to. The real omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent one. And as you know, the dark one wants to obtain all those, but primarily he wants to get to omnicide, to 5G and all these other things are pointing towards. And God does that too when it becomes time to.
Which, you know, I would say has a dual agenda. It's the omnicide, but not before we build these self-replicating, you know, silicon-based skin suits, so to speak, that these ascended masters that Alice Bailey and others talked about can arrive on the scene. The same folks that Jordy Rose is talking about, anyway.
Yeah, and this thing with aliens, you know, I like to think, oh, there's good ones and there's bad ones, but when it gets down to it, when they first started interacting with them, and they probably have all through time, it was known they would change to whatever it needed to be. So that points to them being all dark.
Dishonest.
Being drawn down from the host of heaven, wherever they come from. Demons from below, you know, and they're fill children up, autistic children, as the next proxy army. But, I mean, there were even records in Zarco, Columbus' diary of wooden type spaceships coming out of the water and flying in the, you know, all through time. And we've seen them in medieval paintings and things. So, you know, people need to really realize who's in charge here. It's always God. He'll cat just tasted my coffee, I think. I'm sorry. A little distracting. But we have to remember he's always in charge. He takes the evil and makes it into the better good. I mean, he's responsible for putting both Obama and Trump in. Yeah? We have a lot to learn from both of them. And I went back and listened to John Moore after I heard John in Tennessee talking about it, and it wasn't that, I mean, John Moore has his understanding of what went on, and, well, he should from his experience. And yes, these techniques exist, and sometimes they're effective, and sometimes they're not, because like, I just sent you, and I sent all the hosts I could think of, except Keith Rogers. I sent his from from a Hotmail account because he can't receive Yahoo. So if somebody doesn't receive it, it's because they can't get Yahoo. About reminding him about Bernays, there's three simple things there, and you can do it with humor. You know, when you have a lot of people around and they start talking trash and or something on the media or whatever, and you just hold up your hand and say, please hold the Bernays, and get a conversation going. There's three simple things there. You know, he was Freud's nephew. He was actually Freud's double nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then, speaking of the inbreeding eugenicists, yep.
Yeah. And then just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. You know, they use the example of skinning a cat alive. You know, but yet that's the kind of things we're doing. And then what's the third one? I always forget the third one. I got it right here in front of me. But there's only three. And, pointing out that all the media around you, the billboards and the ads and everything, they're not real. What you feel isn't what's real. You got to use common sense and stay calm and, you know, just help people think for themselves. That's really what we've got to do. So they back off from this nonsense. But it's just a good time of year to do that, you know, when we're thanking God and enjoying each other's company and food and, you know, and stay lighthearted. And Mike Rivero said, you know, just don't talk about politics. And this really isn't politics. This is everything. This involves everything. And we don't even realize it.
Yeah, somebody needs to ask him what happened to all wars or bankers' wars. We could talk about that.
Yeah. Anyway. I bring that up now. You know, Jamie Kelso doesn't want to know about Germany. But, you know, when we were talking and he's glorifying a movie about Midway coming out and, you know, and the men spilling their guts and they're so brave and all this. And I said,
Again, you like read Robert Stinnett's Day of Deceit. Or listen to James Perloff, or,
any of those, but that's what I brought up to him with Mike Rivero's all wars are bankers' wars. You can put it in those terms, and that's what it is, definitely.
Yep.
So we're going to stop it.
Absolutely. We're going to try to squeeze in another call, thank you,
bye-bye.
As always. Much appreciated. Back to the phones quickly. Richard in Washington. Go ahead, Richard. Thanks for calling.
Quick comment. Recommend a book called Supernatural, basically based on the last caller. We used to interact with nature. That's how we evolved with our challenge of interacting with nature. Then as we became industrialized, we started interacting with man. Our challenge was other men, competition. And now what's happening is we're interacting with artificial creations. So where does this take evolution? What's the body supposed to do, the physical body supposed to do, if it's interacting with completely artificial substances and everything else is pretty well stable and we have no fight against nature anymore, any competition against nature. And as she pointed out, our concept of the supernatural God has changed. It used to be part of nature, and that was the intents of God. Then it became, you know, good and evil, and now it's becoming this kind of alien, you know, artificial God perspective of the control of man. It's like an ongoing process, and if you read a book called Forbidden Archaeology, you find maybe we've gone through the same cycle over and over again, and we're doing it again, and we're about ready to destroy ourselves because we've lost the concept of nature and destroying nature.
Yeah. And speaking of Solomon, like he said, there's nothing new under the sun. There's definitely a repeat. I appreciate what Gary Kaha had to say in The Demonic Roots of Globalism about the subject of supernatural and how he defined that term. But we are out of time. And Jim, sorry we missed you. Richard, thank you for your call. And folks, I will just say, as we head into Thanksgiving, Solomon said it best, the conclusion when all has been heard. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
For you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.